This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody.
Sponsored by Royal Star Assurance, Bamboo Shack, and Royal Fidelity Banking Trust.
We're in the adrenaline section, this knee-knocking hour here, and I won't delay anymore to present the award for the best actor, the Academy Award-winning actress of last year, Miss Anne Bancroft.
The nominees for the best performance by an actor are Albert Finney in Tom Jones, Richard Harris in This Sporting Life, Rex Harrison in Cleopatra, Paul Newman in Her, Sidney Poitier in Lilies of the Field. The winner is Sidney Poitier in Lilies.
Because it is a long journey to this moment, I am naturally indebted to countless numbers of people, principally among whom are Ralph Nelson, James Poe, William Barrett, Martin Baum, and of course, the members of the Academy. For all of them, all I can say is a very special thank you.
Thank you. sir, with love.
There you go. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olain, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Friday afternoon, where we are going to commemorate, to recognize the now late, great Sir Sidney Poitier. All of us today, I think, are approaching the passing of Sir Sidney with some sadness for sure, for his family and for his now passing from this planet. But boy, what a life to celebrate. What a life to recognize. It was my honor and a privilege sometime in, I believe it was 1997 or 8, when Sir Sidney was appointed by then Prime Minister Hubert Alexander Ingram, ambassador of the Bahamas to Japan and some other places. And he was making his rotations, as ambassadors tend to do, to the various ministries to get briefed. And he had occasion to meet with me this 29-year-old first-time cabinet minister. And I sat in my office there with him sitting opposite me, this very stoic, very dignified, very stately gentleman speaking in that now familiar voice the world over. And being so very humble in the circumstances in which he was in. And what a delight and what a privilege it was. You heard at the opening clip his receiving of the Oscar, which was the first for a Black man ever. And we set the stage for very many who him. And then that iconic song from the movie To Sir, with Love, a movie which I tend to watch every now and again, especially around Independence time. For some reason, I celebrate my independence in part watching Sir Sidney's movies. And what an actor, an activist, ambassador, what a Bahamian and an American he was. And so today we're gonna speak with a number of people, and we are going to play a number of clips that might familiarize some of you with the work of Sir Sidney and the life of Sir Sidney, so that you could maybe just get nostalgic if that's what you want to do, or you can simply just enjoy that great talent that God placed upon this earth in the person of Sidney Poitier. If you want to give us a call at all today on the show, the numbers to do so as follow. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. I am so delighted to have with me today the Honorable Minister of Foreign Affairs, the Honorable Fred Mitchell, to talk about this giant of a man, this Bahamian patriot, and also someone who has represented our country and therefore has had to do work on behalf of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Welcome, Minister.
Yeah, hi. Sorry, I want the video now. Hi. Okay, great. It wasn't working for a moment there. Hi. Yeah.
No problem. Welcome, Minister. Thank you very much
for
joining us today. We know yours is a busy schedule, and in light of all the events happening, we know that you know you have things to do. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. You know, I just spoken actually about 2 weeks ago to Mrs. Poitier, Joanna. because I periodically check. You know, he's not been in good health for some time, just to see how he's doing and the rest of it. So we were talking about the fact that his 95th birthday would have been, I think, the 19th of February, which made him 95. His brother Reg lived to be 97 or 98. But yeah, so it was quite a surprise this morning. And of course, it sort of crossed my mind, but in the midst of, you know, as a politician, these things don't happen like Hollywood script. Everything happens, you know, so I'm in the middle of some discussions with my opposition colleagues this morning, and my mind could hardly concentrate on this because this news breaks right at that time. And mind you, I woke up this morning and I saw a missed call on my phone at 1:28 a.m. from his office. And I thought that was a little odd, but I said, I'd get to it later in the day, only to find out that obviously that was the news at the time.
And am I correct, Minister, because I'm seeing online that he passed away in the Bahamas?
No, he was in Beverly Hills.
Oh, okay, because for some reason, some of the things I'm reading seem to suggest that, and I thought that didn't seem quite right.
No, we were actually trying to get him here for his 90th birthday, but his health did not permit it.
Okay.
He's not been to the Bahamas.
How do you size up a character like Sir Sidney? Because I don't know if many Bahamians know this, but that at one point, I don't know if it's still the case, but at one point he was one of the five most recognized people in the world.
And as I said to someone in 1967, I believe he was the highest paid actor in the world. Hmm. So this is clearly a Bahamian superstar. I mean, no one has ever reached those heights. And everything that he did, his family relationships, all of that was, you know, front page news. And he, you know, strode over the entertainment world and, of course, the world of civil rights and activism like a colossus, just a tremendous figure. I'll tell you what I remember is that he used to serve the corporation, and there was a big dispute which was being settled in the Court of Chancery in Delaware, one of the states in the United States. So he was a witness in that case. And of course, you know, the counsel will lead you through the details of your life and background before you actually go into the main testimony. And at the end of that part of the testimony, the judge stopped the proceedings and said, it was just a remarkable life. He said, you couldn't make this up, that someone came from such humble beginnings, the son of Cat Island farmers, and to raise up to be what he ultimately became, the iconic actor, producer, diplomat, writer, you name it, he did it.
And he served, I know he was appointed ambassador by Prime Minister, but he served as ambassador under your tenure as Foreign Affairs Minister also for the full 5 years, eh?
That's right. So Ambassador Poitier was appointed by the Hubert Ingram, as the ambassador to Japan. And when I came to office in 2002, as the ritual is, you offer your resignation. The Prime Minister Christie said no. In addition, we'd ask him to serve as ambassador to UNESCO, which he embraced quite quickly. But it's the beginning of the saga for me, because you can imagine now, and he used to always call me his boss, you know, and I would sort of, I wasn't his boss, but, you know, the Minister of Foreign Affairs. But as a child, every movie that came out, my mother would bundle us in the car, take us to the Capitol Theater, because we had to see the movie. So that is, I'm getting to work with this fellow who is just iconic. And so we lost office in 2007. So I figured, well, that's that. And then I get this call in Christmas time, 2007, says, I need to see you. So I said, oh, well, okay. Come out to California. I need to talk to you. So I went out there. And then we just struck up this relationship that lasted to his passing. He took me everywhere with him. I mean, we drove to cars, to lunch, had dinner, introduced to his friends. What struck me was the enormous respect that he had in that community. And again, it's just a remarkable story for someone come where he did. Just a remarkable story.
I had that feeling when I was Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture, and someone gave me a call, and on the other line was Lyndon Pinling, and I'm thinking, like, what in the world am I doing here? And he needed something to be done, and I was like, this don't even make sense.
I was telling you, the journalistic colleagues, that one of the stories I told at a reception we held for him, I guess that was the summer of 2012, in Los Angeles at the Beverly Hilton. And I was saying how in 1973, so it's Independence Eve, and the last person sort of to arrive was Sidney Poitier, right? So we're all standing at the stage. And he's making his way slowly around the perimeter of the parade grounds. And as he's walking around the parade grounds, the crowds are cheering as he walks around. And so we all leaned over and were joking to one another. Ah, you know, there's the actor with making his grand entrance, you know, because they were just waiting for this thing to begin. So I spoke to him afterwards in one of the times we were driving around Beverly Hills together. And I said, you know, how did that happen? He said, well, the truth is, I was lost. I didn't know where I was going. Nobody told me, you know, where to sit. So I was just trying to find my way to the stage. I thought that was a kind of chuckling moment for me. Yeah.
You know, I know Prime Minister Davis was asked the question, have we done enough to honor a Sidney Poitier? And he said, we've certainly honored him. But there's more that needs to be done, and that you are going to be deliberating on it. And I thought to myself that someone with that high level of artistic achievement, if the Bahamas ever had a school of arts, a distinguished school of arts, and University of the Bahamas ever had such a, you know, the naming it after him would kind of be like apropos.
Well, two things. The former Prime Minister, Perry Christie, was just at a function, he and I together, and he leaned back, and that's the first suggestion he made, is that through the University of the Bahamas, perhaps there needs to be a school of performing arts which could be named after him. But I'd forgotten that in the year when the bridge was named after Ambassador Poitier, when the bridge was named after him, we had announced and had actually published renderings of a performing arts center, which was supposed to have been named after him. So there are all of those things, of course, which are in the mix. Right. But I think in the short term, there must be the official period of mourning. The flags, the Prime Minister Ball flag should be flown at half mast until the funeral service takes place. And I'm hoping, the family, of course, permitting, that there's some kind of memorial service which takes place in the Bahamas to mark the passing of this great man.
What did his diplomacy do for us? I mean, because, you know, diplomats typically kind of live a kind of low-profile life, except in the territories where they are. But what was his diplomacy for us in terms of global recognition?
Well, I think it opened doors. I mean, because I'll just give you the experience of traveling to Washington, D.C. We were doing our own sort of lobbying effort with the American Congress. And I could tell you, as soon as they said, Sidney Poitier was at the door. I mean, you know, whoop, doors are open, you know, great, can I have your autograph? You know, you're such an iconic figure, children to meet you. What I thought was, I found it a bit corny at the time, but just so gracious in the face of it, because I'm sure, yeah, you know, it gets a bit tiresome all the time, but just gracious in the face of it, you know, yeah, very kind, you know, thank you. And I asked him about it. And I said, you know, how do you do this? And he said, look, my image is a particular one on screen. That's the thing which gives me my living, causes me to make a living. And so I am very careful about my image and protecting my image. So what I do, he says, is when I meet somebody, or they meet me, I want them to go away with the image which is on the screen reinforced. I know that is the person, wow, that they, that is their idol, or that they admire. And he was exceptionally disciplined with it. I mean, no matter how the schedule pressed,
You know, I had this experience twice in my life. Once on meeting Nelson Mandela, and then on meeting Sidney Poitier, where you kind of got the impression that you were sitting with people who were a little bit transcendent.
Yeah.
That was the impression I got, right?
Yeah.
Because notwithstanding their status, that there was a humanity and a humility to them that was really uncanny.
Yeah. It was in both cases. I agree with you. I've had the opportunity, of course, to meet both men, and I say the same.
I appreciate your taking time out to come and talk about this great Bahamian hero, and thank you very much. If you have any last words, we're happy to take them.
Well, I do want to formally extend to Pam Poitier. His daughter lives in Cat Island, so I spoke to her this morning. I haven't yet gotten a hold of Joanna, his wife, but I do want to publicly extend condolences to Joanna, to all of the kids, including Pam here in Cat Island, on the passing of their father and husband, and to all the relatives who are here in the Bahamas, on the passing of a great Bahamian, and the country will be missing him, no question.
Thank you very much. The Minister of Foreign Affairs, Your Honorable Fred Mitchell, thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue looking at the life of this iconic figure, Sir Sidney Poitier. We'll be back after this break.
Okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Child, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pulled up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Tips for keeping children healthy. Ensure that children are up to date with their vaccinations, including the flu vaccine. Make sure that your children practice preventative actions such as teach them to cover their nose and mouth with tissue or the inner elbow when coughing or sneezing. Encourage them to keep their hands away from their eyes, nose, and mouth. Explain that they should keep their distance from persons who are coughing and sneezing. Keep your children home when they are sick.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Made Willie Harris put everything on paper, Mama. The lawyer just looked it over and everything.
Son, I think you ought to have a talk with your wife. Now go on out and leave you alone if you want.
Mama, I can talk to her anytime, Mama.
Son!
Mama, will somebody listen to me today?
I don't allow no yelling in this house, Walter Lee, and you know it. And there ain't gonna be no investing in no liquor stores. And I do not aim to have to speak on it again.
You haven't even looked at it. You haven't even looked at it. You haven't even looked at it, and you don't even have to speak on it again? Well, you tell that to my boy tonight when you put him to sleep on the living room couch. And you tell it to him in the morning when his mother goes out of here to take care of somebody else's kids, and tell it to me. When we want some curtains or some drapes and you sneak out of here and go work in somebody's kitchen. All I want is to make a future for this family. All I want is to be able to stand in front of my boy like my father never was able to do to me and tell him that he'll be somebody in this world besides a servant and a chauffeur. Huh? You tell me that, huh?
Where are you going?
Out.
Where?
Just out of this house somewhere.
I'll come with you.
I don't want you.
I got something to talk to you about, Wolverine.
That's too bad.
Wally! Sit down.
I am a grown man, Mama.
Anybody said you wasn't grown, but you are still in my house and my presence. And as long as you are, you'll talk to your wife, Sybil. Now sit down.
Don't let him go on. I'll be drink himself to death. You make me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, well, you turned mine too, baby. That was my biggest mistake.
Walter Lee, what is the matter with you?
Me? There's nothing the matter with me.
Yes, there is. There's something that's eating you up like a crazy man. The past few years, I've been watching it happen to you. You get all nervous acting and kind of wild in the eyes. I said, sit there now.
I don't need your nagging at me today. How's that?
Seems like you always tied up into some kind of knot or something. But if anybody asks you about it, you just yell at them and bust out of the house somewhere and go get drunk. All the lead people cannot live with that. Ruth is a nice, patient girl in her way, but you are getting to be too much. Boy, don't you make the mistake of driving that girl away from you.
What did she ever do for me?
She loves you.
Mama, I gotta go out. Now, I gotta go out and be by myself.
Son, I am sorry about your liquor store, but it just won't a thing for us to do. Now, that's what I wanted to tell you about. It's dangerous, son.
What's dangerous?
When a man goes outside his house to look for peace.
Well, then, how come there can never be no peace in this house?
You done found it in some other house.
Why do you always have to think there's a woman somewhere when a man... Mama? Mama, I want so many things.
Oh.
I mean, I want so many things that sometimes I think they're gonna drive me crazy.
Mm. Years old, and I ain't got nothing. I ain't gonna be nothing, Mama. Just look at me. Look at me. I'm looking at you. And you're a good-looking boy. You got a job, a fine wife, a son.
A job? Now, I open and close car doors all day. I drive a man around in his limousine, and I say, yes, sir, and no, sir, and shall I take the drive, sir? Mama, that ain't no kind of job. That ain't nothing at all. I don't even know if I can make you understand.
Understand what, baby?
Well, sometimes it's like I can see my future just stretched out in front of me, my whole future. A big, blank, empty space full of nothing, just hanging at the edge of my days waiting for me, Mama. But it don't have to be. Sometimes when I'm downtown driving that man around, we pass them cool, quiet-looking restaurants. Mm. I look in. I see these white boys. They sit talking about deals. Deals worth millions of dollars, Mama, and half the time they don't look no older than me.
Oh, son, how come you talk so much about money?
Because it's life.
Oh, so now money is life. Once upon a time, freedom used to be life, but now it's money.
Money, we just ignore it.
No. Something's changed. You're something new, boy. In my time, we was worried about not being lynched and getting to the North and how to stay alive and still have a pinch of dignity, too. Now here comes you and Benita talking about things we ain't hardly ever thought about, me and your daddy. You ain't satisfied or proud enough. You had a home, and then we kept you out of trouble till you was grown. And that you don't have to ride to work on the back of nobody's streetcar. You're my children, but how different we've become.
You don't understand. You don't understand.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM as we commemorate the life of Sir Sidney Poitier, that great Bahamian American activist, actor, ambassador. So delighted you could join us here today. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I tell you, when you listen, watch Sir Sidney perform in any of his movies, the excellence, the mastery of his craft, the dignity of the characters that he played, they inspire. they inspire. And if you are a black man who has been forced to live in quite undignified circumstances, you watch him and it gives you cause to believe. I have the privilege now of having on the line to talk to us today, a gentleman who has served our country for many years and served it well. He was one of our ministers of youth sports and culture, and who himself would have interacted with this giant of a man who knows of his work. I have and speak of none other than the Honorable Algernon S.P.B. Allen. Welcome, sir. We have Mr. Allen on the line. Okay, let me see, producer, what's going on? Mr. Allen, we have him on the line, and we're not hearing him. Okay, not sure. Maybe he'll come up. This text says, I wonder if we could explore Sydney's life. I don't know what that means. Example, who he helped in Hollywood, like Calvin Lockhart, Esther Williams, Rocky Rocha, the schools he helped to open, example, Prince William, and the aspirational image and goals that he represented for Black peoples, and the multidimensional aspect of the personalities of Black people that it awoke many white people up to. Well, if somebody wants to speak of it, then go right ahead. I can only share from the perspectives I have.
Hello.
Sir, Mr. Algernon Allen. Yes, sir. How are you? Welcome, sir.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Hello.
All right, producer. I think we're clearly having some issue. We're clearly having some challenge here.
I can hear the voice now for the first time.
Oh, great. Wonderful. So you can hear me now, sir?
Yes, for the first time I can hear you now.
Yes, thank you. Wonderful. Welcome to Z-Live. Thank you for making time for us.
Oh, my dear young brother, Zhivago Lang. Such a pleasure to hear your voice in the new year.
And
your mom in particular, all the best, all the health going forward. It's a pleasure.
And likewise for you and your family, sir. Again, thank you for joining us today on this important occasion. You think of a person like Sir Sydney and your mind goes where, sir?
Oh, well, he is the stuff that dreams are made of. He is the ultimate fantasy of a young boy, of a young country. Because Sydney really was bigger than life. I remember when I would have first met him, or I should say would have first been in his presence, you felt a tingling in your spine because he would have been an older man, a much older person than I was at the time. He would have been some 22 years older than I was. And so I would have been, say, all of seven or thereabouts at our latest school, where he would have visited with his brother, Reg Poitier, and my friends, and my and Stephanie Poitier, and all the Poitiers through there. And then he would also visit his sister, Maud Hamilton, who lived Zhivago, on Andrus Avenue, the corner directly opposite where your mother lived on Wolf Road. And so here was a personality larger than life who you would have seen on the movie screen. And yet at the same time, he would have been a reality in the flesh to these people who were part and parcel of your world, of your simple world. And so Sydney Poitier, a man of fantasy in my mind, and who brought a very charming and stunning reality to us all on the screens of the Capitol Theatre and the Cinema Theatre and the Savoy Theatre, who really made us tingle in our spines, in our hair because, my goodness gracious, it reminded me, you know, of long after when, as a man, I first met Mandela when he was here in the Bahamas. And as a man, I felt that magnetism and that stunning reality of a superhuman being. Well, can you imagine then being a boy and meeting and seeing and mixing with Sidney Poitier? And so when I think of him, I think firstly in that regard of my childhood and the impact that he had upon my world then. And then I move quickly forward because I appreciated the immense impact that she had upon what was then the black struggle and the struggle for majority rule here in our beloved country. And, you know, I will say this. Sidney Poitier was a pivotal and a very important figure in that whole appreciation of self, what it is to be before, what it was to be black and proud. And he did not have to say those words, did not have to make the chant, but you know by his whole persona, by what he represented in life, that he was black pride. And for those of us, Zhivago, who would be growing up in sometimes near destitute circumstances, and certainly challenging circumstances, who would have been the subject of many years of the erosion of self-dignity. Sidney Poitier was one of those people who, along with our parents and along with other local heroes, made us feel that we were real, that we were important, that we could make things happen in our world. And so it is such a powerful and all-embracing promotion of what we are as human beings. I can't even begin to make people feel what that would have represented back there in the 60s and the 70s. Now, I will say this. I wanted to make this point. Sidney Poitier befriended in the majority rule and post-majority rule era our friends on all sides of the divide. In fact, some of his best friends would have been Sir Lyndon Pinling and his dear wife, Dame Marguerite, who would have been Lyndon Pinling and Marguerite Pinling at the time. But he also had, as one of his dearest friends, Kendall Isaacs and Patricia Isaacs. They would have been at some time on both sides of the political divide. But Sidney Poitier never allowed that to interfere with the beauty of his friendship, which he brought to the lives not only of them, but of thousands of names. And so when I speak of him, man, I tend to gush sometimes a little bit insanely because, you know, when you're overwhelmed by a personality who is larger than life and who has really...
I want to ask you, sir, to do this for me when we... But Alan?
Yes?
Yes, I want to ask you to do this for me. We're going to take a break, but I want you to address something if you can for me, because there was a gap in Sir Sidney's, let's say, interaction with the country that led some people to question his contribution to the naming of the bridge after him, which I know you would have been a part of because you would have sat in the cabinet that made that determination.
Yes.
And so when you come back, if you could speak to his contribution that would have led yourselves to believe he was fitting to have this bridge named after him. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivaro Lang, your host.
All right, thank you, dear Shivaro. Thank you.
Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel.
With all that's going on in the world, we could all use a little more kindness. Bamboo Shack encourages you to join us as we spread and share kindness this holiday season. A kind word or gesture, checking on a friend or loved one, helping a family in need. The little things go a long way. Kindness changes everything. So be an agent of hope. Visit www.bekindbahamas.org and Be Kind Bahamas on social media for updates. Bamboo Shack reminds you that a better Bahamas begins with you.
Start the year making all the right money moves. Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM as we in this moment speak with the Honorable Algernon S.B.B. Allen, former Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture, amongst other ministerial portfolios. We're talking about the late Sidney Poitier. But I was asking you, Mr. Allen, about this notion some Bahamians had about his lack of contribution and the fittingness of the naming of the bridge after him because of that period of his absence from the country.
Well, you know, Shivago, it is amazing how some choose such fallacious grounds and excuses to dismiss the contribution of a true national hero in not only in the sense of his accomplishments alone, because really, you know, the likes of a Sidney Poitier, any sensitive and sensible people will embrace for the tremendous impact which he would have had on the world of film, on the black struggle across the world, not only in the Bahamas, but in the United States of America. That would have been sufficient. But he was more than that. He had a home here. He contributed enormously to scholarships and the like, although he did so not from the perspective of beating his own chest, so to speak, but from a very quiet and a meaningful perspective. Many persons who would have been around governance and the various organizations would be aware of the contributions which Mr. Sidney made in that regard. But, you know, Shivago, it is almost like questioning the value of a someone not only larger than life, but someone who has made life better, more beautiful for multi-millions of people across the world. And we talk about a bridge, my goodness, that is a small tribute to the enormous value which the Sidney Poitier has for the Bahamas.
You know, I agree with you. Yes, go ahead, sir.
Yes, and he was of us. His family are all here. His roots are all here. And his legacy will always be a Bahamian legacy. I watched the world news across the United States and the BBC, and the world is standing to salute the life and the legacy of Sidney Poitier. The world, Shivago, is doing that. How can we in the Bahamas or any of us, for that matter, be so foolish and be so blind not to appreciate the enormous impact that this man has had on our civilization.
I was going to say I agree with you, because sometimes people in their own right in achievement is makes them fitting for many things. When you think about his legacy in the arts, it wasn't just that he got an Oscar, you know. It was this black man who insisted that there were certain roles I would not play.
Yes.
Was able to convince his professional colleagues that I am the best actor on the planet.
Yes.
That was what brought dignity to thousands and millions of black people all around the world.
Oh my.
But again, in the last two minutes, he was a Shaft type of super hero character.
He would always be one who, as you say, was uplifting. And so, man, we salute him. We thank God that he gave us Sidney Poitier, the Bahamas, and the world, America and the world, Sidney Poitier. And, you know, at the end of the day, when the history of this whole period is written, Sir Sidney will be one of those luminaries who will hold the greatest actors of the world and with the greatest and most progressive thinkers of the world. And for that, we can all be so proud as Bahamians.
Absolutely. Just before we leave, I remember the bridge being named after Sir Sidney, but I also remember the discussion about the six-legged roundabout. Was that also named after him?
No, it never was. Okay. I don't remember it being so, but frankly speaking, you know, it would have been for the purposes of those of us who live on New Providence and who travel New Providence. It would have been as fitting, or if not even a more fitting, legacy of us to him and him to us. You know, that roundabout that goes in every direction,
and it is every direction and touches practically every Bahamian who lives in Nassau, or moves through Nassau.
Yes, and it says right there on University Boulevard, and you have schools all around it, and the stadium all around it. And so, man, listen, those are the things that we do for our true national heroes. We use the word hero rather loosely in the Bahamian context, but I dare say that Sidney Poitier was a hero in the classic sense of the word. And that is us, and we ought to embrace it and embrace it so very proudly, as you and I do. And
thank
our parents, and all those who would have known or had or touched him, and all those who think for a minute, who stop and think what he represents, who will look at, I just want them today, Jovago, just look at the news of NBC and CNN and BBC and all of the international media. And it starts off with the death of Sir Sidney Poitier and his legacy. And it is a glowing tribute to the life of a man.
Thank you very much, Mr. Allen. We really appreciate you joining us today.
Man, thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll continue paying tribute to this great, late, great Bahamian actor, ambassador, and activist. We'll be back after this break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
In these first 20 years, I've had a couple of ugly cry breakdown moments on the air, but never in the history of doing this show have I had a breakdown afterwards. That is, until my interview with Sidney Poitier was over. I had watched Sidney Poitier win the Academy Award as a 10-year-old girl, and I thought, if he could do that, I wonder what I could do. So he was and has been and is an enormous role model for me. So after 40 years of dreaming about him, thinking about him, Sidney Poitier was finally here right in front of my face. Take a look. You speak a lot about being the out. What was that like for you during that time, being the only black man on the majority of the sets, being the only black man carrying that and all that that meant?
I thought it unfair. I mean, I knew that this color was my color, but I had no idea that it was a condemnation of me. It was going to stand in the way of my expressing myself in life as a human being. So when I had to face it, I decided that those who thought of me in such negative terms, I was going to lay down a challenge. No, I am not going to try to be as good as you. I'm going to set my bar higher, and I will be better.
So after that interview, I went into the control room and I sobbed and cried because I felt I was not good enough for Sidney. I felt like I didn't ask any questions that I should have asked. I felt like I was out of my body. I felt like I had on a schmata dress. I hated myself. I felt like he would never know that I was a smart person with a brain in my head because I didn't even remember what I said. Then Sidney Poitier called me. Sidney called me, and when he called me, he said, I was feeling the same, and I was like, oh my God. He felt the same as I felt.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Friday afternoon as we think back on the life of Sir Sidney Poitier, that great Bahamian American actor, activist, and our Bahamas ambassador. So glad you could join us today. I understand we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
You'll be surprised how many of us around here, especially who grew up around that area, East Street, Wolf Road, the Valley, and so forth, had interactions with, used to call him Uncle Sid. Somebody just sent me a picture, and it surprised the devil out of me. You believe that they had a motorcade when he came back home at one time. It came up Wolf Road. I remember it coming up Collins Avenue, because I was living in East Avenue, Centerville. I remember we hearing about this motorcade. A bunch of us ran out there, but some of us went up in the Pontiana trees to watch him. He was in this Cadillac, this big, long black Cadillac, sitting on the back of it, waving to all of us on Collins Avenue, and just sent me a picture. I got a picture showing me and a little friend of mine through the corner running on the side of the Cadillac with him waving to the crowd. And there I am with this guy running on the side of the Cadillac. I also remember growing up with his nephew, Algernon just mentioned Philip Cabbage Poitier, his nephew Jeffrey Carlos Poitier, through Dowsville Street opposite the Catholic Church. What's that name again? I also remember growing up with Tyrone Marshall and those, and going up to his home, Uncle Sid's home, up in Winton, with this big, tall gate. Somebody had to open it from the inside because you couldn't see inside the place. How the front area was constructed behind, like a dugout wall. It wasn't a built wall. And then this big, beautiful White House is in there. I think he sold it. And many times we met up there, he would just be on the patio with his bathing suit, just reading out. some food.
Okay.
And there were also times when you could have seen him on Bill Cosby, and I forget, somebody else walking down Bay Street in slippers, short pants, T-shirt, and straw hat, like just a yard boy. And those are the days where Nassau was booming, and there's many stories about how good. Have a good day.
Thank you, man. We appreciate your calling. This text says, Mr. Lang, in the 80s, every year, or so Sidney Poitier would have a big Bahamian gala party at his mansion in Beverly Hills, because I remember Clement Maynard taking a crew of PLP stalwarts with him who I knew. Mr. Lang, his house was in Winton, on Winton Highway, next to Norman Solomon and the Bay Street Boys in the 70s. Rest in peace. This text says, yes, Lang, Sir Sidney was simply humble. That is what most of us are lacking in life. The minute we get to a certain status, we show off our dingy side. Stack says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Please advise your listeners to read This Life by Sir Sidney, also The Measure of a Man. I first met him as a student in Cooperstown, Abaco, where he visited on the campaign trail with Sir Lyndon Pindling in the late 60s. He was a frequent visitor to Abaco. We lost a great Bahamian, says that text. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. May I please have your WhatsApp number? Happy New Year. Tuned in to the show on my car radio. 439-3043. This text says, thanks for acknowledging and honoring a great Bahamian, Sir Sidney Poitier, RIP. Also, belated Wendell Jones, media mogul, Love 97, mom Geraldine Jones, and Miss Bartlett, mother of Debbie Bartlett, yes, and her aunt, Bahamian author, poet Susan J. Wallace, yes, Dr. Timothy McCartney, Charles Carter, Thomas Bastian, J. Barry Farrington, A.D. Hannah, Samilo, Sir Lyndon Pastor, Miles Monroe, etc. It's overdue for National Museum and Heroes Recognition Holiday ASAP. Okie dokie. So, you know, this is, you know, we normally do a Far Back Friday and play some songs and music. And so I got one for you, but we got a call on the line. Let's take that call. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, go ahead. We're listening to you.
Hi. Good afternoon, Shivago.
Good afternoon.
I would have made a call earlier today to Sydney, and I really don't feel as though that I would have done justice to the person in the name of Sidney. I'm calling back again to your show, Shivago. My name is Craig Flowers. You know me, certainly. I got to, and excuse me if I sound so choked up because of the fact that Sidney meant so much to so many of us. But I got to know Sir Sidney when I first.
This is Flowers.
Yes.
Oh, sir, man, I missed the name because for some reason my speaker went out. But you know, I can't just let you come on and just like that. I guess you know my mother's listening, right?
Naomi, well, of course, Naomi is listening. Shivago, I attended Our Lady School, which is right across the street from Sidney's parents' home, and my father ran a restaurant and bar and a nightclub that was very, very popular back in the days as the Flowers Nightclub, and mm-hmm. of course we became friendly with the Poitiers, true relationship of the bar and nightclub and the famous restaurant that we had there. And when I went off to study courses and experience after college in Chicago, I had to do a Boeing 707 course in California to become qualified on the modern jets at the time. And Sir Sidney opened up his home to me in California to visit and to stay. It was a three-month course that I had to take out in California. And during the time of the entire period that I stayed there, I probably saw him about three times coming in and out of the house. He was shooting a movie at the time. This was in 1967. And I can't tell you how gracious he was in treating me as a enthusiastic pilot wishing to take on the world. I later, after completing my Boeing 707 course, would have gone on to be hired in Northeast Airlines in 1969 to become the first black pilot for Northeast Airlines. And in 1970, I was being honored by the Boaz Ball in myself. Of course, the Boaz Ball honors black accomplishment in the United States, in New York. And I was one of the honorees, and so was Brock Peterson, who was also a movie actor at the time. We were being honored in New York. And, of course, the mayors and the governors and all of the dignitaries were there. And so Sidney could not have attended. But he wrote a note and sent to the Boaz Ball congratulating me and wishing me the very, very best. And I just can't tell you how proud I was when they read that note and my name was on a note from Sidney, who was absent, but certainly took all the air out of the room when that note of his was read. Our relationship continued. He understood all of the challenges I was having because I also had a radio talk show in Boston, Massachusetts, that I appeared on in the evenings, and the topic was what it took to become the first black pilot for a major airline. And every evening, I would be a bit nervous to go on, and the only way I was able to settle my nerve was when Sir Sidney called and told me how to deal with the racial questions that was beyond the tune. Because I did not really know at the time that people will be calling in with negative intent on the radio to question me about becoming a first black pilot. So all of the frightening things that I would have had were certainly coached to me by Sir Sidney. He stood there and gave me all of the advice I needed. And later on, I would have left, and Northeast Airlines was bought by Delta later on, and I left and came home to start Bahamas Air. After Bahamas Air, I went on to Libya and started working in Libya with Colonel Gaddafi as the training captain and operations manager. And Sidney and I got together again. And our relationship continued because he always wanted to know what Colonel Gaddafi was all about, what were these leaders out there that I was dealing with. And our relationship even got closer because of the fact that he was so inquisitive about the Middle East. And lo and behold, one day, I would have said to Colonel Gaddafi that I spoke with Sidney Poitier, and he knew. I mean, in the Middle East, he knew of the accomplishments of Sidney. So to me, that spoke volumes because I thought that I was in another world, completely alienated from America and all of the achievements in America. But I saw all of this to say I'm only one in probably a million young persons in life that Sidney would have been and touched and did something for. I don't know how to describe the relationship over the years. I'm speechless. We were always friends. He was my advisor. He helped me with anything I would have asked him for. He gave up his house to me when I just needed somewhere to go to be trained. So I just want to say, Shivago, my story is only one in a million that will speak of the things that the great Sidney Poitier would have done for them. I just wanted to say those words in your ear today because he certainly was a father, a brother, a confidant, an advisor, and certainly my rock or my pillar that I would have turned back to because one can only imagine in 1969, 1970, 1971, 1972, the racial issues that we had to encounter as the first blacks in America at the time, and particularly in his case, who constantly tutored and advised me of all of the things that I would have incurred. I mean, people walking off of the aircraft, calling you names. they're not going to fly on an aircraft with a black pilot and, mm-hmm. and the like. And I try, how in my little humble world would Mr. Sidney will be probably recognized, but you know, Chirago, I think it's best to try or attempt to say when you're a kid, your parents create a world around you that all you know is that it is the best days of your life. You are so happy. You are full of joy, and there don't seem to be a problem in the world. And not until you grow up and you become a matured person that you realize the difficulties that your parents must have been going through to make that world so pleasant for you. And I think that's how history is going to look to Sir Sidney. It will be long, long, long after he's gone for us to be able to fully appreciate what he went through personally to make the world we live in seem to be so full of joy and happiness for us. We are in the moment, and while we live in the moment, we enjoy the moment. But for him and the things that he would have had to endure, I listened to a few of them, certainly, in our little conversations, and I tried what I would have had at the time of all of them. The enormous amount of racial issues in America. But, you know, Chirago, just the simple thing what I shed a tear over was just the naming of this bridge here. He said to me, he says, Craig, I never asked or wanted or reached out to be this bridge to be named after me. But I was told and I was advised that they would be doing it. And the hard part for him was to see people protesting against something that he really never asked for. And we sat and could have come to grips with the reality, and he put it behind him and he moved on. And you can't find the word to describe the level of gentleman this giant was. So I don't even attempt to try and find the English description. There is no adjective that you can put before his name that will truly describe him. There is nothing we can say to try and lift him up any higher than being Sidney Poitier. It's not going to be possible. But I do know that, you know, go ahead.
You know, Brother Flowers, I once met John of the Templeton Foundation, the billionaire.
Yeah.
And what astounded me was that I met him and I was with him for probably an hour plus. Mm-hmm. And in the entire time, he simply asked me questions about me.
Yeah.
I mean, this here is a man who is as accomplished as you could find, who has billions of dollars.
Absolutely.
And he didn't allow me to ask him one question about him. He just asked me about me.
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
Talked to me about what it was he was seeking to accomplish. I had the very same experience with Sir Sidney.
Yeah, yeah.
He sat in my office and he just asked me about myself, about my family, et cetera, et cetera. And you would have thought I wasn't sitting with one of the most celebrated human and accomplished
absolutely.
Human beings on the planet.
Absolutely. Let me tell you another little point. I would have had three statues made, Chirago, honor some of our heroes that I thought was worthy of it in terms of our entertainment, Ronnie Butler, Peanuts Taylor, and Eric Gibson. And Sidney would have called and congratulated me because he heard of the presentation or the unveiling of the Ronnie Butler statue, which I would have put downtown. And I sent him pictures of the other two statues. And all he did was congratulated me on doing what was right. Charles Carter mm-hmm. would have written the literature under each of their names, and I sent him a copy of that, and he endorsed them 100%. I mean, that's the type of person he was. He always mm-hmm. was so humble in other people's recognition. He never did anything in terms of promoting himself. Mm-hmm. He never asked or met out to do anything to promote himself. And mm-hmm. I've always been amazed. But, you know, I'm privileged to have had to share the time and the moments in my life that certainly defined who I am today. When it comes to humility and understanding why it is so important for us to reach out and to help as many people as we possibly can, because like my dear friend Gaddafi always says, Captain Flowers, you only have between the day you were born and the moment you die, what you do in between is what counts. Mm. And that's always the case, you know. So for me, I'm going to try to learn from these giants that I've had the opportunity of sitting in their companies and try and make life, the quality of life, a little better. Not just for myself, but for others as well. I think that's
we really appreciate your calling today and sharing with us this very.
Thank you, Shababi. Give my love to Naomi, and I'm going to reach out to her sometime this week as well.
All righty.
Give her my love.
All right. All the best. And thank you very much. Bye bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shababi Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today. Listen, we're going to take a break, but when I come back, I believe I'm going to have a very special guest for you. So stay tuned. We'll be back after this break.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Weekdays 9 to 5.
Hello. I'm Jermaine Kemp, a patient care assistant at Sunland Rehabilitation Center. I am one of many standing proudly on the front line of healthcare during the global COVID-19 pandemic, and I am vaccinated. I made a decision to get the AstraZeneca vaccine after attending an information session to learn more about it. I felt it was important to ensure that I did not spread the COVID-19 to my family, friends, and most importantly, my patients. My patients depend on me for their care, and I consider it a privilege to serve. I invite you to join me in keeping our clients, colleagues, and community safe by choosing to be vaccinated. We can do this, Bahamas. Together, we can beat COVID-19 one vaccination at a time.
This message has been brought to you by the Public Hospitals Authority and the Sandilands Rehabilitation Center.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shababi Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Friday afternoon. So glad that you could join us here today, where we've been commemorating the life of the late Sir Sidney Poitier, activist, actor, and ambassador for the Bahamas. And I'm so glad that you could join us. Well, I was trying to get you a special guest, but we haven't connected yet with her. But, you know, listening to Mr. Flowers and the Minister of Foreign Affairs, on the Honorable Fred Mitchell, and Nostalgian and Island, and some of you who've spoken, there is certainly a song that comes to my mind that references something that I think is quite fitting of Sir Sidney. So I'm going to play it for you as we typically do on this Far Back Friday. Mariah Carey sings the song, There's a Hero. And so we're going to play that song for you, and maybe you can just remember this wonderful icon, Sidney Poitier. There's a hero that lies in you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. A hero lies in you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so delighted that you could join us, and I'm so delighted to have with me a very, very special guest. This is the first female in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to be elected to the Parliament. I had the privilege of serving with her in the Cabinet of the Bahamas, and she was our Minister of Foreign Affairs at a time and our Minister of Attorney General at a time, a distinguished, wonderful human being. And she was, in fact, the minister when Sidney was first to Japan. I'm speaking of none other than the Honorable Janet Boswick. Hello, ma'am.
Hello, Chicago. It's so nice of you to have me here.
It is our privilege for sure. And thank you for being available to do this. And I know that your familiarity with Sir Sidney goes back long before his tenure as ambassador, because you've known him from his childhood. Hello, did we miss, did we lose her? Hello? All right, producer, I'm not sure what's going on. Maybe we may have disconnected from her. So we'll try and get the Honorable Janet Boswick back. But in the meantime, let me read some of your texts. It says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. Hollywood would more than likely do a documentary movie on Sidney Poitier. Which actor do you think is most suitable and most qualified to play the role of Sir Sidney? Now, that's an interesting question. I think might be able to pull it off. Morgan Freeman, he'd be too old. I don't know that he could do that. But who's going to play the young Sidney Poitier? They have some young Black actors actually out there. Denzel Washington's son is out there. There's another young guy who's up and coming. I don't know, but, that's an interesting question. Definitely an interesting question for sure. We'll see. We'll see, I'm sure, in time. This text says, Mr. Lang, do you know when he was knighted? Did Pinling or Papa do that? Sir Lyndon knighted Sir Sidney. This text says, condolences to the family of the late Sir Sidney Poitier, Rip. I'm proud as a Bahamian to know such an accomplished man. Love you, Sir Poitier. Poitier, take your rest. This text says, Mr. Lang, this is the problem. Why does not chronicle all the good he would have done? What a man. This text says, Shivago, for those that may not know, please tell us why the Bahamian people protested the naming of the bridge after Sir Sidney. Why did they protest? The protest, I don't know that people protested. There were people who did not think it was fitting because they questioned his contribution. I understand the Honorable Janet Boswick is back. Yes, ma'am. Good day again.
Yes. I am back.
Yes, ma'am. But I was saying that your familiarity with Sir Sidney goes back far beyond his tenure as ambassador, because I think you would have been.
In my childhood.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, I lived in East Street just opposite Windsor Park, and one of his brothers lived on Wolf Road just opposite Windsor Park, and so I was very familiar with his nieces, and we played together. One was my age, two were older. And the other brother, Red, he lived in DeVoe Street. And this would have been from the end of the 40s, the early 50s. And so I was quite aware of him from that time. They would be talking about Uncle Sidney. And then in 1950, I was quite young, but it was very topical at that time, because I think the movie was No Way Out. He acted in that movie. And it was not permitted to be shown in the Bahamas, and so it was very topical. I remember it being said was because in that movie, he as a Black man, a Black doctor, slapped a white person, sort of slapped this man back. And so at that time, did not want it shown in our cinemas, a Black man slapping a white man. So I knew him from then, and I've met him, but I really came to meet and interact with him in 1968. I had seen him before around in the Bahamas, and he was very much a frequent visitor, and we knew him to be supportive of the movement for majority rule. And in 1968... when Henry ran as the PLP candidate in Abaco, he joins the Lindens with then Mr. Finley in Abaco campaigning for Henry. And we certainly had close interaction at that time. And since that time, in a number of other instances.
What would his tenure as ambassador have meant for the Bahamas? We typically engaged ambassadors, but none of them would have had the kind of profile, for instance, that he would have had. What would that have meant for us?
It really raised the Bahamas in the estimation of the host country, which was Japan, that we were able to secure such an eminent and renowned. I remember them being rather surprised when we informed that our choice for ambassador would be to Sydney. And I should mention, he was non-resident ambassador, and the services which he performed for us were totally gratis. He was not paid for his performance or for his appointment as ambassador. And all of the work which was done from his home and from his offices in the USA. We gave only a stipend to assist with payment of some staff, and that was it. What he did was gratis. The Sydney wanted to ensure that the Bahamas would gain some tangible benefits from his ambassadorship. He wanted to be more than an ambassador in name. And I remember him sitting on occasion with us in Ministry of Foreign Affairs and trying to find out matters of what the Bahamas was trying to do. And questioning how could he assist in bringing this, into forethought to have it implemented. He wanted to do more than promoting the Bahamas as he normally did. He promoted the Bahamas as a place for the tourists, the Japanese tourists, to come and all this, and he did that. He did that very, very well. I remember one of the things which I spoke with him about was the possibility of establishing an agreement with Japan to get them to accept our citrus fruit, in particular the sale of our grapefruit, which they could not have easily available in Japan. And it was supposed to be grapefruit from Abaco. And he was a keen negotiator. They had some stringent procedures and and he worked hard to get our grapefruit to be in a position where we could import them and we could pass all of their very prohibitive, almost was laws and standards. And we got to the point where this was agreed. And then I think there was a hurry which interrupted that process. But always, the Sydney was trying to find ways in which he could promote our country to our country's benefit. He did that very well.
So in a very real way, it wasn't simply his celebrity that was a benefit. It was his mind, certainly a mind that made him capable of negotiating in Hollywood terms of his engagement that couldn't be negotiated by Black men at that time because there were certain roles he just wouldn't take.
Absolutely. And his appreciation, too, of different cultures and being able to assimilate, that augured well. He did not have to spend a lot of time trying to study about Japan, about its traditions, about its various cultures, about their likes and how best to interact with them from a formal way. And it is so important in diplomacy. Sometimes things which are readily acceptable here, even in communication, may be insulting in the culture of another country. And he was able to negotiate and to inculcate in all of his feelings, whatever were the differences in these various nuances in the culture of the two countries. It was very good. And as I said, all of it was graphic.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, you would have been in that cabinet that decided to name the bridge after Sir Sidney. I think it was, in fact, the cabinet trying to decide how best to honor him, and the bridge was one of those things that in the end won over. I think you also familiar with some of the dialogue around why he should not have had the bridge named after him. What was your take on that whole discussion?
That cabinet was in at what time?
Sorry?
What year was that?
I don't remember myself.
I don't think that was our cabinet.
You that named the bridge after him?
That named the bridge after him. I'm not sure that it was our cabinet.
Okay, I am confused about it. It might not have been, but I know that discussion did come up.
I know that I personally supported the naming of the bridge after this evening. And I know that there were a number of Bahamians who would say he's been this very important Black actor, and the Bahamas has never benefited from it, and he's never really thought too much about Bahamas. I know that to be not so. I also know Sidney to be a man who treated his private life as private, and he did not seek to put a spotlight on things and benefits which he did for Bahamians here. I think one of the only things which he permitted to be spotlighted was when he permitted one of his films, I can't remember which one, it may have been Buck and the Beach or something like that, but one of them to be premiered here in the Bahamas, in Nassau. And that was to the benefit, as I think, of Prince William's High School, I stand to be corrected. But it was one of our private practice school. I think it was Prince William. But otherwise, he would seek to do manner. One of the things that he did in promoting the Bahamas was for years, he would bring his friends, particularly Black actors and entertainers, singers and stuff to Bahamas. I remember he was one of his closest, if not his closest friend, was Harry Belafonte. And so Sidney would come down with the Black he was trying to make them see the Bahamas almost as a second home. What's his name? Jackie Wilson and the various singers, so many of them he would bring down here, and he would be in the United States promoting investment and promoting like a second home thing in the Bahamas. I remember when he built his own home here on Winton Highway. It was one of the largest homes then in the Bahamas. He built on the Winton Highway, and he spent a lot of time here with his friends, and sometimes he would bring down B.B. Austin. He promoted the Bahamas. He was like proud of his Bahamian heritage. And he brought his family down, and I said, his second daughter, I think it is, Pamela, she is actually, years ago now, so must be 2 decades or more, she has made her home back in Cat Island. She lives there, you know, and she's Cat Island, and, you know, and she herself promotes the Bahamas. I think when you do not be loud and you do not be pushing yourself for the limelight, people feel that you're doing nothing. And that is unfortunate.
Yeah.
And that is
notwithstanding, we live in this Christian nation where we are told to do our alms in secret.
that is, if you are prepared to accept and that people can talk bad about you, you know, and say you do, then you do that. And as Christians, we should not mind, you know.
Right.
I find it's embarrassing if people talk about what I did for them, you know. But why do you do it? If you're doing it to be kind to the person, then you don't need to be recognized for it, you know.
Your life is a life of firsts in this country, and so you sit in the annals of our history in the first among any number of things, whether it's having been elected to Parliament as a female or having been, correct me if I'm wrong, would you have been our first female AG?
Yes.
Yeah. So yes. So you know these first. And for Sidney Poitier, do you think we can fully grasp what it meant for him in the 60s to have been given an Oscar as a Black actor when you consider what Black actors were doing in Hollywood at the time?
Honestly, I can't imagine. And I think it is to his credit. He would never accept a role which he thought would cause his perfection to be looked, or not his, his race to be looked down. He always wanted to do a role that would present his race in a positive way, or that would seek to explain the thinking and that which affected his race. But he would not take the demeaning jobs like when he used to have all the paint done. He would not take that, acting like a white man.
I sensed myself as I sat with him when he was making his rounds, which was for me again quite telling about his character, because he has this very famous, very accomplished man. He's appointed an ambassador, a non-resident ambassador. There's a requirement of ambassadors to make the rounds to the ministries in order to familiarize themselves. And he wasn't too big for that. He did it.
Yes. And not only did he do it, but he would wish to know, what else can I do to properly prepare me for this role? You know, he thought, and he always presented that I do not know sufficient. I need to know some more. I need to know some more, you know. And it was, like you said, I remember sitting down with him, IS minister, talking to him, and he would be looking at me. And this is a man I knew from my childhood, of course, and I looked up to him. And he's looking at me as if he's hanging on my every word, you know. I'm not just slamming you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Minister, I'm very grateful that you joined us today. Thank you very much for enriching our discussions about this great Bahamian who is now passed on to glory.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen.
God bless you, and God bless. And you hear what I'm going to say? God bless your ministry.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Right.
Yes, ma'am. The Honorable Janet Boswick, ladies and gentlemen. Well, as I leave you today here on Z Live, let me leave you with one of the songs from the movie that won Sir Sidney his Oscar, Lilies of the Field. And that song that rang out, that he so enthusiastically sang in that movie, which if you watch, I have no doubt will move you. Amen. Amen and amen. Y'all have a great weekend. Nahaja Black is up next. God bless you. We'll talk to you again next week. God's best life.
Well, it's English lesson time. I build a chapel.
I build a chapel.
You build a chapel.
You build a chapel.
Oh, we build a chapel.
He built the chapel.
Amen.
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 Amen. Jordan, where John was baptizing and saving all sinners. See him at the seaside, talking with the fishermen and making them disciples. Marching to Jerusalem over palm branches in pomp and splendor.
Amen, amen, amen.
See him in the garden praying to his father in deepest sorrow.
Amen, amen.
Led before Pilate, then they crucified him, but he rose on Easter.
Amen. Amen, amen,
hallelujah,
amen.
He died to save us, and he lives forever.
Amen, amen,
hallelujah.
Off the Record with Shivalga Lang is sponsored by Royal Star Assurance, Bamboo Shack, and Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust.